We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart.
I said this in the first service. I'll say it again. The first part of a church service in the cultural context that we have church today. I do not believe that we have church like they had in the book of Acts or the early church. I believe the cultural context of who we are, what we are, and what we've established over the last 200 years of really having church, specifically a Protestant focal point of church. I believe that what we do is biblical. And I believe that what we do has roots in the Bible. I don't believe that anybody in the Bible necessarily had church like we have church. However, when we come together, it is right, it is proper for us to sing the praises of God and to boast about who He is and what He's done, to sing of His majesty and sing of His works. This, the Bible tells us, creates an atmosphere where the Lord can tarry. It is what the Bible says, He inhabits the praises of His people. The tehillah, the songs of the congregation, the hymns sung by the people of the Lord. And so it is in that context that the beginning of a church service is for God. This is for Him. What we are doing, singing, calling on His name, this is for Him. He is an audience of one. We're not here to have a concert. We're not here to sound good for you and to so you can enjoy this. And I know that we do enjoy it, and I'm glad we can enjoy it, but it is not for us. It is specifically designed for Him. This is His part. We sing for Him. If you don't like the song, that's all right. It ain't for you. If you don't like the genre, that's fine too. It's not for you. If you don't like the style or even the volume, it's okay. It's not for you. It's not your song. We love you. We're glad you're here, but we ain't not doing this for you. This for Him. It's for Him. But this next part of the service is for you. It is the Word. We worship Him, and He speaks into us. This is the Word of God. It is for you. God does not need the Word. He is the Word. So this is for you. So thank you for being here on time today so you could give God His part, so He could give you your part. Amen. And if you have your Bibles today, we're going to move into that time. The book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. Acts 28, beginning in verse 1. And I believe here in just a few minutes, we're going to gather around this altar and God's going to do a great work. Amen. God's going to, there's victory in the room today. But let's read Acts chapter 28 and beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita." This is the island today that we would call Malta, meaning honey. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the shipwrecks of life will land you in the sweetest spots? Amen. I'll preach that later. The Bible says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast and the fire and felt no harm." Amen. This morning, if you allow me for just a few moments, I want to preach to you on this subject: victory over the viper. victory over the viper. If you believe God can do it right now, would you put your Bibles down and lift up your voice? God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we feel. We thank you for your spirit. God, you are in this room today. We have invited you in, and you have accepted the invitation, and we are so thankful. God, I pray now that your word would do its work, grow us, mature us, teach us, learn us today. God, and help us that we not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. And we will be so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And someone shout in Jesus' name. Come on, shout it again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. Tell your neighbor, God's going to give you victory over the viper. If you're not aware, I just left a conference, three-day conference in Alexandria, Louisiana, called Because of the Times. And I always find it difficult to preach the Sunday afterwards. Such a great conference. You hear about 10 or 15 messages of great preachers back to back to back to back to back. And it's sometimes difficult not to come and just regurgitate what you've heard, but seek the Lord for a word, for the moment, for the church. And but it's also kind of one of those deals where you hear so much preaching that it's like being force-fed. You're just sitting there just getting force-fed all kinds of word from every angle in the Bible, and you're sitting there thinking, I read the same Bible these guys read. Why have I not seen that? It's just kind of one of those deals. It's a little overwhelming. But at the same time, it's such a time of refreshing and time of word. And this weekend on my way home, and just asking the Lord, Lord, give me a word for the church. You kind of go to one of those conferences and you feel like, man, I'm not really doing a whole lot for the Lord. I need to up my game. But you're just praying, Lord, give me a word for the church. I believe the Lord gave me this word for this moment today. And if you read the book of Acts, this is the story of the early church, the beginning, the birth of the church, and how the church began to grow. The book of Acts begins with the disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We have these disciples that are working, and we see them doing great exploits for the Lord. Peter stands and says, this is the message, this is the word from the Lord. And we see the early church being born, and we see how they conduct themselves, and they're meeting house to house, breaking bread, praying. We see the great constraints that the season and the time and the political pressure of that day puts upon them. We see the buffering of the church, so to speak. And we understand that it's coming under great, great, great persecution. We see what's happening in the church and how things are happening. We also get to see a little bit of the structure and how the disciples and the apostles begin to move things around, and this person's over this and this person's over that. However, if you follow the book of Acts, and if you want to go back last year on our podcast, on Wednesday nights I did a series on the book of Acts, and we read every single scripture of the book of Acts, and we kind of break down a lot of this, and a lot of that is in there. And if you're understanding how the book of Acts is kind of split up, right around the middle of the book of Acts, there's a shift. And it really becomes a story about Paul, not necessarily the apostles and not necessarily the disciples so much as the ones who followed Jesus, but we're introduced to this new person, Paul. And he comes out of nowhere. He was not a follower of Jesus. Matter of fact, he was against Jesus. He was a killer of those that followed Jesus. He imprisoned them. He beat them. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was a part of that. And God grabs him, arrests his spirit, and makes him one of his followers and a subsequent apostle. So Acts begins a shift into the story about Paul. And Paul is brand new to the scene, but Paul has something different. Paul has something that God needs pertinent to his call and his gifting. See, Paul is educated, extremely educated. You'll read through the New Testament how the educated people of that time will look at the disciples of Christ, the ones that followed him daily, they will look at them and they will say, these men are ignorant and unlearned. They're not educated. Well, Paul has two things going for him. He is highly educated. The second thing is he is a citizen of Rome, which gives him unique access to the world. Because he is a citizen of Rome, he can travel. He can go into places where no one else can go. He can step into rooms that no one else can step into. He can have conversations with people that no one else can have conversations with. We see this through about the middle to the end of the book of Acts, how Paul is in places that no one would ever think they would ever go. The disciples and the apostles have been struggling to even get the message out of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. But now they're in Asia. They're in Ephesus. They're in Corinth. Because Paul is able to go, and not only is he able to go, his unique access, but his unique education. He's able to speak on things, and he has been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. God has called him. God has prepared him. God was preparing him before he knew he was being prepared. Somebody in this room needs to understand that you have learned and you have grown and you have access to things that had nothing to do with your beginning in Christ, just your beginning in life. But God is going to use those things for his glory and kingdom later on. Somebody said amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. This is the story of Paul, and Paul is no stranger to persecution. He has been beat, he has been whipped, and now he is a prisoner. And they are taking him. They are taking him to be killed. They are taking him to be tried. He is a prisoner. They put him on a ship. It is a ship full of prisoners, the worst of the worst, thieves and robbers and rapists. And the bottom of the barrel of society are on this ship, and they are being taken to be tried, to be beheaded, and they are being taken to answer for their crimes. And they put Paul on this ship, and they're taking him. But Paul has a promise. Not only has Paul been called to be used of God, uniquely positioned for the time of what God is trying to do in the world, but Paul has a promise. Here's what God has promised him. He said, just like you stood in Rome and you preached the gospel in Rome, you're going to preach that same gospel in Jerusalem. And what they don't understand is they're just setting up Paul to go do what God's called him to do. Amen? And so as Paul is on this journey, he has become a prisoner. They've put him on this ship, and they've actually given him his own detail. And they said, listen, you keep this man, and you keep him safe because he has to stand before the king. And so here he is. He's been called of God, uniquely trained, positioned. He's perfectly situated for the time and the call, and he has a promise. He has a promise that he's going to stand in Jerusalem and preach this message. And on that ship, there's a storm. One of the greatest storms that the Bible ever records. It's a squall. And it lasts days and days and days and days and days. And now they are near the island of what we call today Malta, but then Melita. And as they're getting close to this island, the rocks and the ship is being tossed to and fro, and they lose their rudder. And they're not able to guide the ship anymore. And they get closer to the rocks. And they say, man, let's get off the ship. Everybody get into the boats. But Paul says, don't get off. If you get off, you're going to die. If you stay on the ship, I promise you, every man will be accounted for if you stay on the ship. And that ship hits those rocks, and the Bible says it splits in two. But every man is saved. They come onto the land. The Bible says many of them come on broken pieces. They make it to land, and they're saved. And when they get on this land, they run into this tribe, this indigenous tribe of people who show them kindness, and they build a fire for them. And I just want to say, I kind of said that whole little spiel there to say this, just because you've been called and just because God has called you into the kingdom for such a time as this, and just because God has given you promises, that does not mean you will not face shipwreck, storms, and snakes. Hear me. Just because there's a call of God on your life and just because God is using you in a certain way, it does not mean that you are ever going to be free from storms, shipwrecks, and snakes. Oh, I want to encourage somebody today. You may be in a storm, you may be in a shipwreck, or you may be facing some vipers, but I come to tell you, that doesn't mean that God is finished with you. And that doesn't mean your story is over. And that doesn't mean that your ministry is done. That doesn't mean that your destiny has hit a dead end. You hear the word of the preacher today. All it means is that God still has a plan for your life. Ah, Some of y'all should have been dead and gone, but you're still here. And what God is trying to show you through that is that I still have a plan for your life. I'm still going to use you. This ain't over. It ain't over until God says it's over. Yeah, the shipwreck doesn't mean that he's finished with you. The storm doesn't mean that he's finished with you. And the snake doesn't mean that he's finished with you. I don't care what comes your way. If God made you a promise, you can take it to the bank, baby. God has never made a promise that he has not kept. Somebody shout amen. I want to tell you something in the house today. You may not even know that God is keeping you, but God has already been keeping you. You may not even be aware that God is. Listen, there's most of us in this room. Some of us in this room, we know that we're on a journey. We know that we've been called, and we are aware of the journey that we're on. We are aware of the surroundings, and we're able to see how God did this and God did that, and God stepped in here and God kept me over here. And God. But some of you, you don't know yet that you're on a journey. You don't know yet that the Lord has his hand on you. I come today to open up your eyes and let you know you should have been dead, but God let you be here today. You should have been gone, but God let you walk in this building today. It should have been over for you, but you came. Even when you didn't know God was keeping you, God was keeping you. Amen. I got a few of you. Hopefully by the end of this thing, I'm going to have all of you. Just because you've been called, just because you've been. You got a word from God. I got a word. Well, that word don't mean you're not going to go through hell sometimes. God promised me, and I'm, well, the promise ain't going to stop the storm. And God said, and God did, and you naming and claiming and blabbing and grabbing, and then you, the devil blows your mind when he jumps out of the fire on you. You go, this cannot be. I'm a child of God. This cannot happen. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. They get on this island, and the people of the island, the indigenous tribe, they begin to take care of them. They build a massive fire because of the cold, because of the rain. They showing them kindness. And as they're building the fire and the fire is growing, Paul decides, I'm going to help a little bit. He goes and gathers a bundle of sticks. And as he lays the sticks on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Notice this. The snake did not come out of the fire. It came out of the heat. It was not in the fire. It was in the heat of the fire. A snake is a cold-blooded mammal, meaning that inside of its body, it does not generate heat. It needs an outer source of heat to maintain its body temperature. It does not have anything in it, no mechanism inside its body to create heat from the inside out. So it has to get heat from the outside in. And so if you are on an island that's cold and raining and you build a fire, snakes are coming. Because they need heat. Heat, comfort. You know, a fire is comfortable. Very, very comfortable. If you've ever been out in the wilderness before, been on a camping trip, whatever it may be, and you sit around and you build a fire, you just feel better when the fire gets started. You know, you start feeling that warmth of the fire, and you just, you know, you start feeling like, man, this is, everything is going to be all right. I told the first service this story, but when I was in Iraq, about the last month being in Iraq, we were breaking everything down. We're about to leave, and it was wintertime in that country. It was around, and you know, it was wintertime here, so it was a shift. It was, I would say, like beginning of December, and we had been in Iraq. I'd been in theater since February, and it was hot. It was like 120 degrees in the day and like 95 degrees at night. It's just hot. Well, you learn how to be hot, your body gets hot. Well, I didn't know that in the wintertime, when the sun goes down in the desert, it gets cold. The coldest I've ever been was about 52 degrees. Now you may say, well, that's not very cold. Well, it is if you've been living in 90-degree weather all the time. I was freezing. And us being ignorant to our surroundings, we were getting ready to, you know, go home. So we was putting everything in connexes. Everything, if it wasn't nailed down, it was getting put in the Connex because we're not carrying it on our backs out of here. We are sending it home. So we sent every piece of cold weather gear we have. Now, if you've ever been in the Army before, you know we bring a lot of unnecessary stuff. Sometimes we just unnecessary. And we had a ton of unnecessary stuff. I thought that my cold weather gear was a part of the unnecessary things. I didn't realize it was going to drop to the 50s at night. And the colonel decided, I was part of his security detail. He said, look, there's a lot going on. So for these last few weeks we're here, we're going to help out. We're going to lend a hand. So what we're going to do is we'll run mission during the day. We'll do what we need to do, make sure we're covering all of our bases. But at night, I want everybody to take a few shifts of guard duty. Now, you got to imagine this camp is just a big square. And on the corners and in the middle of each side, there is a large guard tower, just a wooden platform. And it looks out over the vastness of nothing because we had about half to a quarter mile of visibility all around us. And it's just desert, just kind of flat and just very low foliage, no trees. You can see far along. You're not sneaking up on us. However, just maybe like a mile away was a very large city called Al-Sadiyah. Al-Sadiyah, they like to bomb us at night. They bombed us over 186 times in 1 year. Just dropped mortar rounds. They would fasten mortar tube to the back of a truck. They'd drive around. And anytime there was light on the camp, they would watch the camp. And if they saw light, it would give them a reference. They would just fire. They would drop a mortar round. So we had what we called, we had a light police. People walk around the camp all the time making sure all the lights are out, because in that kind of place, in that kind of desert, you can see a lit cigarette from like a mile away. Because there's no ambient light, no street signs, no lamps, no nothing. So there's no ambient light. So any light is easy to pick out. So, you know, we had this blackout thing at our camp. No light at night. Because anytime there would be some kind of light, and I remember it very well, where somebody was mistaken and they cranked up the Humvee and they forgot to make sure the lights was off and the lights come on. It wasn't but a few minutes and we was going to get a bomb dropped on us. Because it would give them a reference point of where the camp was in the darkness. And I'm sitting up in that guard tower one night, it's about 50 degrees, and I'm freezing. And I got no coat. My coat's probably on the ocean somewhere in a Connex. And I'm sitting up there and I'm cold. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to freeze to death up here. It's not going to happen. So I went down and found me a 50 cal can, a metal can you put 50 cal ammunition in. And I went down by the trash pile and I got a bunch of little pieces of wood and some trash and some paper. And I packed that little can as tight as I could. And I got back and I set it on fire. And I sat there in my little hooch up there in that guard tower, that little can burning. And I was comfortable. And they came across the talk back, Tower 3, what's going on over there? It looks like there's a fire happening. Roger that. You all right? Yes, sir, I built the fire. Oh, you built the fire. Roger that. Said, you know you're going to get shot, right? I said, well, I'll be shot and warm. You're going to get killed out there. I said, I'll be killed and warm. But I am freezing. I am freezing out here. Now, at the time, I was unaware of how much danger my comfort had put me in. My faculties weren't working all that well because I was cold. And I did not realize that the comfort that I had created for myself had also created a dangerous place for me. Because a lot of times in life, it is out of the comfort the viper comes. The viper did not come from the fire. He came from the heat. He was on the edge of the fire. He wasn't in the fire. He was in that area where me and you stand to gather the warmth and to gather the protection and to gather the comfort of the fire. He was in the area that's comfortable, where me and you would sit on our lawn chairs or slide closer to feel the heat of the flame, but not the flame itself. Inside the flame is not comfortable. It's the heat of the flame that brings the comfort. And it is in those comfortable places that the enemy will latch on to you. Oh, hallelujah. We have to be very careful in this life that we do not let our comfort cause us to be bitten. Because when you're comfortable, you let your guard down. When you're comfortable, you're not paying attention. When you are comfortable, you are not watching what you should be watching. It is out of the comfort of life that many of us have fell victim to the venom of the viper. We weren't looking for it. We weren't watching for it. It felt like everything was fine. It felt like everything was good. I shouldn't be hurt from this because this is a comfortable place. This thing should not hurt me. This thing should not wound me because this is a comfortable place. But the enemy knows that when you are comfortable, that's when he attacks. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. In the comfort and protection of the fire, in the heat of the flame, the viper is waiting diligently for an opportunity to strike. Yeah. It is in the things that we do not think he is in that sometimes he is in. It is in the things that we turn a blind eye to sometimes because it makes us feel comfortable and we like our comfortability. And somebody said amen. I like being comfortable. You like being comfortable. We all like being comfortable. But it is sometimes in that spiritual, vortex of comfortable is where me and you get trapped most of the time. I'm reminded of a story in Exodus 3 and 4 where Moses is telling God, God, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to accept me. I don't know how to prove to them I am who you say I am. I don't know how to prove to them that I'm walking in the way that you want me to walk. And God says, well, throw down your staff. Well, Lord, that's my staff. What is a shepherd without his staff? I lean on that. It helps me walk. It helps me guide myself. I'm comfortable with the staff. But the Lord said, throw the staff down. And when he threw the staff down, it turned into a snake. Oh, hallelujah. The thing that we depend on was a snake. And he ran from it. And God said, pick it back up. And he picked it back up and it turned back into a staff. We have to know that sometimes the thing that we lean on could easily become a snake. The thing that we lean on, that's why the Bible tells us this, lean not to thine own understanding. Don't lean on the things of the world because one slip up and it becomes a snake. One moment. With your guard down, you can get bit by the viper. One moment you fall victim to the venom of the viper, it's very, very quick and it happens very, very fast. The snake will not come out of the fire. The snake will come out of the heat. But the Bible says when he fastened on his hands, the barbarians knew. They knew. They said, he dead. It's a dead man walking. Like, you remember when Uncle Ray Ray got bit by this? Debt. Gone. He died. Remember? Aunt Sally, yep, dead too. We know that viper. This is our country. This is our land. We know that he is going to die. You see, sometimes when trouble comes into our life, if we listen to everybody around us who know, oh, this is unto death, oh, you're done. It's over. We can't listen to everybody. I don't care how much they know. I don't care how spiritual they may be. I don't care how much information they have. Just because you got bit don't mean it's over. My, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. Don't listen to everybody around you that says, oh, man, now that you made this mistake, it's over for you. Now that you're in here, you can't do this anymore. Oh, you did that where your ministry's over. Oh, you did that where your destiny's done. Oh, you did that where God can't use you anymore. The devil is a liar. Just because it happened to someone else don't mean it has to happen to you. Every person that the viper bit may have died, but when it bit Paul, it bit somebody with a promise. It bit somebody with a covenant. It bit somebody with a calling. And the calling and the covenant and the promise are more powerful than the venom. Oh, hallelujah. And Paul shook it off in the fire. Listen to me. What jumped on you in the heat can only be shaken off in the fire. Can I preach for a little while? What jumped on you in the heat can only be shaken off in the fire. If it jumped on you when you was comfortable, get uncomfortable. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to preach for a little while. You may respond, you may not. It's fine. I'm going to preach. I'm going to be done. You can go home, eat some fried chicken, and it'll be fine. But I got to tell somebody, if it jumped on you in the heat, you're not going to be able to get rid of it in the heat. If it jumped on you on the outskirts of the fire, you're not going to be able to get rid of it on the outskirts of the fire. What jumped on you in the heat? What bit you in the heat? The venom that got in you in the heat, it can only be shaken off in the fire. That's why I say every chance when the fire is brewing and the flames are high, you ought to take your opportunity and you ought to get as close to the fire as you can, because only the fire can give you victory over the viper. Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all in the spirit realm, when you walked in here today, you look like a scene from Indiana Jones. You had vipers all over you, snakes all around you, and you came in here and we were singing and shouting and the fire was brewing and it was getting hot and you was just sitting back there with your arms folded like, well, here we go again. Check off another Sunday. But the devil is a liar. You should have said, you know what? I'm going to go get in the fire. I'm going to go get in the fire, because only in the fire can I have victory over the viper. Hey, you say, well, Pastor Chavis, I came close today. At least I was at church. Yeah, but you cannot get rid of in the heat what got on you in the heat. The heat never scares the viper. He's comfortable in the heat. He's chilling in the heat. He's relaxed in the heat. The heat is where he does his business. The heat is where he's chilling. He's fine. Some of y'all half saved and you think the devil ain't gonna mess with you. That's a lie, because he loves the heat. He'll sit in the heat. He has no way to heat himself, so he must be near the heat. He ain't messing with the cold saints. That's why when people walk away from the Lord, don't be surprised when good things happen. They walk away from the Lord and everything falls into place, making money, living life, driving Lamborghinis, and you just say, oh, well, look at them. Well, listen, when you're so far away from the fire, the viper ain't got nothing to do with you. It's only those that stand close. The devil ain't worried about some of y'all, but some of y'all, he's terrified of your calling. He's terrified of your promise. He's terrified of your ministry. He's terrified of your destiny. So he wants to jump on you. But I say, shake him off. Shake him off in the fire. All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Shake him off. Get as close as you can. Get as close as, get into the fire. Devil, you got to let go of me. You got to let go of me. The viper done jumped on your kids, done jumped on your marriage, done jumped on your house, and you sitting in church like ain't nothing wrong. You ought to say, devil, you got to let go of my family. Let go of my children. Let go of my marriage. Let go of my money. Let go of... Get in the fire. Get as close as you can. Oh, you're being too spiritual. No, I'm not being too spiritual. I got vipers in my life, and I got to get rid of them. And the only way to get rid of them is to get on fire for God. Pray like I never prayed. Shout like I never shouted. Give like I never gave. Worship like I never worshiped. Fast like I never. I got to get on fire. If you are in trouble today, it is not time to back up. It's time to come on in and get as close as you can. Get victory over the viper today. Go Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the enemy that says, oh, you're going to die. This is going to kill you. No, it's not. It ain't even going to hurt me. No harm shall befall me. No harm shall come to me. Because you're a liar, devil. You're a liar, enemy. I'm going to shake you off in the fire. But what? Listen. Paul added sticks. You cannot shake off the enemy in a fire that you didn't help build. Don't come over here to my fire trying to shake off your devil in my fire. Some of us confused. No. You can't come over here and shake off your devil in my fire. Where is your sticks? Where is your bundle? What have you done to kindle the fire? That's why some of y'all can't get the victory. You think just because coming in here, you're going to get the victory. No, you should have brought some sticks with you and said, I'm coming today to add on to the fire. I'm going to come add on because I can't shake it off if I didn't help build it. I'm not coming to sit. I'm not coming to watch. I'm coming to participate. I didn't come in here to see what y'all gonna do. Y'all about to see what I'm gonna do. Watch what I do. Watch how I worship. Watch how I praise. Watch how I preach. Because I gotta get victory over the viper. I have to get victory over the viper. I didn't come in here hoping y'all was prayed up. I didn't come in here hoping y'all had it all together. I didn't come in here hoping you had a word from God. I came in here with a fire already. I came in here with a kindled bundle. Stop hoping that the church is going to save your kids. Stop hoping that the church is going to save your marriage. Stop hoping that the church is going to get you out of your trouble. And you just come and it's going to happen by osmosis. Some way it's just going to happen. No, every service you come, you ought to bring a bundle and say, I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to get it hotter. I'm going to get it hotter. Why? Because the enemy is attached to me and I got to shake him off. Shake him off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake the devil off in the name of Jesus. Shake the devil off. Somebody do it right now. Just shake him off. Oh, you don't want to be free. Not with that mess. No, oh, yeah, yeah. No. Some of y'all came in here with some stuff. You came in here with some stuff. Some serpents have been attacking you. And you ought to say, devil, today's the day I'm getting victory over the viper. I came with my own sticks, and I'm going to help build the fire so that we can shake him off.
You ought to start a fire right in your living room. Start a fire at your dinner table. Start a fire right in your own family. Pray until it's red hot. Worship until it's red hot. Some of y'all waiting for the right song, waiting for the right beat, waiting for the right shout, and then. When the stars align and Pluto and Mars are in perfect harmony and sequence, I'm going to really get to, this is the worst thing that can happen to you, is for you to go home today and say, man, if they'd have sang that song one more time, I was really about to do something. The devil is a lie. Go ahead and get in now. Don't wait for us to sing it one more time. If pastor would have preached a little bit longer, I was about to. Don't go home with that testimony. You ought to go home free from every snake, every viper. Satan, you couldn't kill me in the storm. You couldn't kill me in the shipwreck. And you ain't going to kill me with this viper because God has given me a word. I got a promise. Shake him off.
You can't shake him off with your arms folded. You can't shake him off sitting in your seat while everybody else is worshiping. You can't shake him off just by standing on the sidelines and hoping that somehow, no. If you wait too long, the venom will have time to get into the blood.
And if the venom gets in the blood, it'll hurt you. But when you shake him off, before the venom can act, before the venom can move, I shook him off in the fire. He bit me, but I didn't go home with him hanging on me. He bit me, and yes, I was attacked in the heat. I was attacked in my comfortability. He bit me, but I didn't let him hang on very much. Some of y'all been letting the devil hang on so long, he's got the venom in you. You've been letting him stick around so long, he got the venom in you. I say shake him off, and by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, every venom, every... Somebody say, give me victory over the viper today.
I'm almost finished. Music can come. Paul. I don't even know if Paul knew this. I believe he did. But Paul wasn't there when this was said. But Paul is walking in a covenant moment. What is happening in Paul's life in this moment is no surprise to God. And someone say, well, God reached down and touched him and healed Paul. God reached down. No. Because Paul was already in the will of God. Some of y'all praying for God to come and do something miraculous when God has already done the miracle. The miracle's already done. Already. Watch. Because Jesus said this. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now that's very harsh words for like 2024. You know, because we want to let everybody be included. We want everybody to be a part. You know, we don't want nobody to feel like, you know, they're being put up against the wall. But this is not what I said. It's not what my religion said. This is what Jesus said. If you have a King James Version Bible or NIV, you're going to find that these letters have been written in the color red. That signifies this is what Jesus said. I didn't say it. My denomination didn't say it. Jesus said this, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved. But if you don't believe, you shall be damned. And that word of damned ain't ever been nothing good and ain't ever going to be nothing good. It's a bad word. It means horrible things. But he said if they believe and they're baptized, they'll be saved. In verse 17, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. See, if you get that real Holy Ghost, you're not going to be able to hide that thing. Because it's going to be following you. There's going to be signs. There's going to be evidence. Somebody say evidence. Yeah. This is the evidence of them that believe. Watch the first one. In my name shall they cast out devils. Ooh. Yeah. Ain't nothing spooky about that. You don't need no seance. You don't need no chicken feet. You don't need no special serum. You don't even need no oil. Everybody want to put oil on everything. You don't need it. You can have it. That's fine. That's good. They anointed stuff in the Bible. I'm fine with anointing stuff now. I ain't got no problem with it. I'm just telling you, we don't need it. You don't need nobody coming around doing no seances over you. We're going to pray all night prayer meeting. We're going to pray all night till the devils come out. No. If you have been baptized and you believe, then you, you don't need no license. There's no paperwork to sign, baby. If you believe and you've been baptized, then this is a sign that you got what God wants to give you. You can cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't need a bunch of people to come to your house and do nothing, baby. You can walk through the doors of your house today, open the front door and say, I don't know if there's any devils in here or not, but if you are, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out.
done. It's done. It's done. If you think you got a devil in you and you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, just lay hands on yourself and say, I don't know if there's no devils in me, but if there's a devil in me, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of me right now. I know what y'all want. Y'all want something spooky. Y'all want me to come up here and do something. Oh, the Holy Ghost told me. No, the Bible told me. Why would I need a prophet when I got the word? Because the word has always been better than a prophet. I don't need you to come up here and do jazz hands, hocus pocus on me. No, in the name of Jesus, be thou gone. That is my promise because I've been baptized and I believe.
That's okay. Let me tell you what else is going to happen. If you believe and are baptized, go speak with new tongues.
That's what Jesus said, not me. People, well, tongues is not real. That's what. Go tell Jesus that.
Tongues have ceased. Has believing ceased? Has baptizing ceased?
Nay, nay.
After you read that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, do me a favor and go to 1 Corinthians 14. Stop reading right there, because that's not what Paul is talking about. Jesus said, "Those that if we can still cast out devils, then we still speak in tongues." And I'm not being religious, and I'm not trying to be doctrinal. I'm trying to be biblical. It has nothing to do with being Pentecostal or apostolic. No, no, no. I believe what Jesus said. They shall speak with new tongues. And here it goes. Here it goes. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Yeah. Now, Jesus wasn't telling them, go get a bunch of snakes, bring them up on stage, and prove to everybody that you believe by handling these snakes and kissing them and acting a fool. Because thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If Jesus would not throw himself off the temple, then you ain't got no business touching no snakes trying to prove that you believe. Because you should not tempt the Lord thy God. But let's just say that you are doing God's will and you are walking in your calling and you are walking in your gifting and you are walking in your promise, and all you're trying to do is just build a fire, and you get into the heat of that fire, and as you go to lay those sticks in the fire, let's just say that a snake jumps out of the heat and bite you. Here's what Jesus said. If you believe and you're baptized, it will not hurt you. This was not a miracle that God performed in the moment. It was a promise that God made before he ever called Paul. Hear me. This was not a miracle that God did in the moment. God didn't say, oh, Paul, you're healed. That's not what happened. It was a promise. It was an already settled thing that Paul could get bit by a venomous viper and it would not hurt him. Do you know where your victory over the viper is going to come? It's not going to come just in the moment that God's doing something right now. No, God has already done everything he needs to do to give you victory over the viper. All you have to do now is walk in the victory that God has promised you. You don't need to be like, Lord, I hope you'll do it. God, I wish you'd do it. No, it's already been done. It's already happened. God has already given you the promise. He's already made a way. The viper cannot hurt you. He already gave you victory over the viper. Listen, if you believe and you've been baptized, I want you to raise your hand. Come on. Don't be ashamed. I'm talking to you. Ready? You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You. He didn't say the preachers and the apostles. He didn't say the licensed ministers are going to be the ones that can do it. No, you have the power to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Woo! Some of y'all are just looking at me
like a monkey doing a math problem. Oh, that's good, Pastor, that's good. But you don't even know what I just said. You have no idea how to understand what God has given you already. If you raise your hand, then today in the restaurant, you can lay hands on somebody and they can be healed. If you raise your hand, the next time your baby has a fever, lay hands on them and say, fever, be gone in the name of Jesus. If you got the Holy Ghost, if you believe and you've been baptized, you can walk into your house today and say, every demon, every devil, every spirit, get out of here and get out of here now. You're not welcome and do not ever return. That's your prerogative. You have that ability. And if you believe and if you've been baptized, there ain't a snake, there ain't a serpent, there ain't a venom, there ain't a viper that could ever harm you. Now, in closing, if you need victory today, this may be your first time ever being here. Oh, this may be, you may be coming for 11 years and 5 months. But if you need victory today over the thing that jumped on you in the heat, then I want to tell you today, the Lord has sent me to tell you he's going to give victory in this house today. And it won't be because God's going to come in and give victory. It's going to be because you realize I already have the victory. This is what I need you to understand. Hear the words of the pastor today. Victory is not coming. Victory is here. It's already in the room. We're not gonna worship. We're not gonna worship and somehow open up some dimensional portal and victory is gonna pour into the room. That's not Bible. Stop being spooky. When Christ died on Calvary's Hill, he created a plan, a gospel. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed, done, settled. It's not coming. It's already available. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected. That's the gospel. And the gospel is repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It ain't coming, baby. It's already in the room. All I want you to do right now is just to begin to realize that the viper has no power over you. Shake him off in the fire. Get close to the fire. Build a fire. Get you some sticks and throw on the fire. The bigger, the better. The bigger, the better. The bigger, the better. So if you need victory, come, come. Several have already come, but I want you to come. If you need victory today, come. Come. Get as close as you can. Make room. Don't stand in the aisles because people try to get in. Come. Close as you can. And when you come down here, I want in your spirit, I want you to say, I'm coming with my own bundle. Coming with my own bundle. Yep. You may not have a whole lot of sticks. But if you got lint in your pocket, you got something flammable. You may not come down here with all kinds of ammunition. You may come down here weak, weary, worn, and sad. But can I give you a word? A word. Are you ready for this word? It is in your weakness that you are the strongest. Because here's what he said. In your weakness, I am made strong. It is your weakness that makes him strong. And so no matter who you are here today, brand new, first time guest, been here for a long time, doesn't matter. No matter who you are today, and you may be at the bottom of the barrel and you may feel like there's nothing else for me to do and the viper's venom may be coursing through your veins from the top of your head to the sole of your feet and you feel like it's overtaken me and it's gone too far. The devil is a liar. If you're not dead yet, then the devil already messed up. He waited too long.
He let you come in this building today, and that's all you needed, because victory's in the room.
Hey, victory's in the room.
And we're going to break every chain that the enemy tries to put on us. We're going to snap every chain that the devil's trying to put on your mind, your spirit, your family, your calling, your destiny. And if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, the baptismal is ready. I'm going to ask one of our ministers to just come stand up here by the baptismal. I don't care who it is. It can be anybody. And one of our ministers, come and stand. Thank you so much. Epiphany's going to stand right here. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, as we begin to worship here in a moment, you just worship your little way right on over there to them steps. Come up. Get with Sister Epiphany. She's going to tell you what to do. We're going to baptize you right now in the name that's above every name, in Jesus' name. Why? Because if you believe and you're baptized, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. The serpent can grab you, but you can shake him off in the fire. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. You ought to throw your hands in the air, throw your head back, and begin to shout with a sound of victory, with a sound of victory, with a shout of victory.
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.